March Madness is continuing, and we're down to the final four. Yes, the final four teams at the NCAA tournament, and none of those teams are teams that I picked to win the whole damn thing. Let's get the damn show started.
Listen, when Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike grab mics, it's real sports, real talk, on the field or on the court. If it happened in New York, it's covered like a blanket, dog. Interviews are ill, simply up close and personal. Batter up, Lloyd's batting first, set the tone. Mike's either at the stadium or the garden on the phone. Here we go, Giants and Jets, Yankees and Mets, Knicks and Nets. This is only an intro, the show is next.
Ayo B! And please part my fresh as we bring you an all new episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, today is Monday, April 1st, the start of a new month, and this show airs every Monday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, TuneIn, Pocket Cast. Yeah, that's right, baby. We are there. And if you got any questions that you'd like for me and the Mad Mike to answer, you can always shoot them through email to Lloyd@partmyfresh.com, or you can send them directly to the website. Be sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't done so. Get the word out to your family, friends, and anybody that you know that's a sports lover, and even those that aren't. Maybe we can scoop them up and have them become sports lovers. And if you also like to follow us on social media, me and Mad Mike are also on Twitter and Instagram, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, LLOYD. Be sure to hit that follow button. We have another great show for you today. We're going to continue to talk about the NCAA bracket, as my bracket is just a mess. And we're still going to pick our picks who we think are going to win the final four games and the championship. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball as the season has kicked off and the Mets took 2 out of 3 from the Washington Nationals. Meanwhile, the Yankees lost 2 out of 3 to the Baltimore Orioles, who are supposed to be the worst baseball team in Major League Baseball. Boy, oh boy, is it time to hit the panic button with the New York Yankees. We'll cover that as well. So as always, listeners, let's buckle up, sit back and relax, and start spreading the news. Hey, yo! Let's get it!
How sweet it is. It's Monday. That means the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show is back. Let's go.
As always, we gotta find out where the Mad Mike is and where he's calling from. Yo, Mad Mike, where you at today, baby?
Lloyd, man, I'm fighting this cold after sitting in the cold, wet Yankee Stadium watching Jay Happ throw like a wet dog yesterday.
Listen, man, I knew you. When I saw this game, Mad Mike, I knew you were going to go at this dude's jugular. I knew it. I thought about you the entire time that I watched this game. But before we move on to the NCAA tournament, which my bracket is a complete mess.
Oh, I'm done.
It's a complete mess. I can't believe that the Yankees lost 2 out of 3 to the worst team in baseball. It's only 3 games in the season. I'm not going to push the panic button just yet.
But I will. I'll do it for you.
The first 21 games, the Yankees got a soft schedule, man. You can't lose 2 out of 3 to a team that lost 115 games last year, Mad Mike. It just can't be done.
This team has showed you, you know what, we'll save it. We can move on because I'm telling you right now, if once I get started, you ain't going to stop me. So right. If you got something else to talk about, let's talk about
it. So listeners, let's move on to the Final Four, which is set with Michigan State versus Texas Tech and Virginia versus Auburn. So my bracket, like I was saying, is completely destroyed because my Final Four was Duke versus Gonzaga and one side, and on the other side, it was North Carolina versus Tennessee. I was completely done. So overall, my overall record was 41-19. How did you finish up with your bracket, Mad Mike? Because I know you had Michigan in yours, I believe.
Yeah, man, I finished an embarrassing one. I only have one team in the Final Four, and that's Virginia. Actually, as far as my my pools went, one pool I ended up in, we'll see. I was at third place to start the day after losing both Kentucky and Duke. I'm sure that I'm going to do the free fall, especially since I had Kentucky and Duke in the title game. And in the other bracket, I believe I was 10 out of 30 starting the day, and I also had Kentucky and Duke. So doesn't even matter what the number is. I know that I'm going to do the free fall from here on out because the only team I have left in both brackets is Virginia, and I had them both, Virginia losing them both in the Final Four. So I'm done, and, you know, it was fun. It really stunk, man.
This is why I don't bet money or enter NCAA bracket pools for money at work or with anything for that matter. This is exactly the reason why. All right, and again, the men's Final Four is set. Number one seed Auburn and Michigan State winning Sunday to join number three seed Texas Tech and number one seed Virginia next week in Minneapolis. And I just want to give seven takeaways that'll get you ready for these games. So I think there'll be a vastly different levels of Final Four pedigree this coming week. Virginia's played in the Final Four just twice previously, Matt Mike, and that was in 1981 and 1984. And Texas Tech and Auburn had never been there before, and none of the coaches from those three schools have been to the national semifinals round before. Meanwhile, Michigan State will be playing in its 10th Final Four in school history. Okay? Then you have the lack of upsets. In the early rounds of this year's tournament, you know, might have made for a sleepy first weekend, but that was long forgotten after the fabulous heart-stopping Elite Eight, and there were 12 lead changes, and Texas Tech went over Gonzaga, in which neither team led by more than six until the final minute. And Virginia was on the ropes in the final seconds against Purdue, and I tell you what, that point guard from Purdue went bonkers, Matt Mike.
Edwards, yeah.
He went bonkers. It seemed like he couldn't miss. I don't know, what is he? Is he a junior, senior, sophomore? What is he?
I want to tell you he's a sophomore, but he's coming out. I can tell you that.
Hey, listen, one thing after I the know way he played, he that's the best decision he can make to come out. But, the, you know, that was going on until a missed free throw led to a game-tying I can't pronounce his name.
Oh, the floater?
Yeah, Diakite jumper in overtime. And Auburn trailed by double digits in the first half against Kentucky on Sunday, but they was able to force an overtime and pull that off. And then you want to go into this, does defense win championships, Mad Mike? And Virginia and Texas Tech ranked first and third in the country in scoring defense, respectively. And Texas Tech and Michigan State and Virginia are all in the top five nationally in field goal percentage defense. Some solid basketball was being played in this NCAA tournament, Mad Mike. Very impressed with the games that were being played. And Auburn's free-willing style stood out all season. And I think that it should again this week. And Auburn, a very high-scoring team, they're third in the country in three-pointers per game and have already made 49 in their first four NCAA tournament games. And none of the other Final Four teams rank in the top 100 in that category, Mad Mike.
Yeah, no, Bruce Pearl has done an amazing job with that team. Here's the one thing that I'll say about Auburn, more than I say about Texas Tech or any of the others, especially they don't have the pressure that the other schools have. With Virginia, they have pressure, believe it or not. I mean, people thought that this was a national title team last year before they were bumped out in the first round, and they have the pressure of trying to erase even getting to the Final Four. They haven't fully erased it. You know what I mean? Like, they have to try to live up to that hype. Michigan State is Michigan State. Tom Izzo is the most recognizable coach in the tournament left. Michigan State is the most recognizable school left in the tournament. So they have that pressure. Real quick before I move on from them, amazing. We did mention that they have the bigs that just shoot the three, and even though we picked against them, that's one reason that we really like them. And was it not their big who hit the game-winning three-pointer against Duke? So that just goes to show you, in this tournament, man, you play defense, you have big men that can stretch the floor, you can change the game. Auburn, just they're the team that's not supposed to be here. You know, they're the fifth seed. They're coached by Bruce Pearl, who, you know, could never get over the hump at Tennessee, never lived up to the hype at Tennessee, you know, or choked in the tournaments. And now he's got a team playing the best basketball they've played all season. They didn't win the SEC title, but you know they were making a lot of noise and making it real tough for teams. Actually, they did win it. I apologize for that. I believe they did win it. But either way, you know, they've just been on a collision course. They got hot at the right time, or they gelled at the right time, whatever word you want to use. And they've looked really good. So I think they're going to continue running through, and they might just be too high powered. It's going to be an awesome game, right? Virginia versus Auburn. Is it going to be the defense, or is it going to be the offense? It's going to be interesting.
And then when it comes to coaching records in this year's Final Four, obviously there's Michigan State's Tom Izzo, and then there's everyone else. Tom Izzo has 22 NCAA tournament appearances. That's the same amount as Texas Tech, Chris Beard, and Virginia's Tony Bennett and Auburn's Bruce Pearl put together. And he also had stints, you know, those coaches had at other schools. So if you combine all those, that still doesn't compare to how many appearances Tom Izzo has. I'm pretty cool with Travis Trice, who played under Tom Izzo. And, you know, Travis Trice, he spoke very highly of Tom Izzo. And there's no one in that trio that has taken a team to the Final Four before, whereas Izzo had led the Spartans there seven times heading to this tournament, including the national title in 2000. So it shouldn't be all that unexpected that the Final Four teams standing are top-ranked seeds. Since 1985, yes, I'm going there, listeners, a number one seed has reached the national championship game 32 times in that span. Only UConn, which is a number seven seed, has won the national title is lower than their fourth seed.
And while that was top Kemba's seed, team?
Huh?
That was Kemba's UConn team?
Yes.
Or was it, it was Kemba.
It was Kemba.
Yep.
And, you know, while the top seeds have won 21 times, and two seeds five times, and three seeds four times. So all the games are scheduled. They're going to be all Eastern Conference time, and that's this coming Saturday. Saturday semifinal, which is April 6th, listeners. Virginia versus Auburn, 6:09 on CBS. Michigan State versus Texas Tech, 8:30, depending on what time the first game ends on CBS, and that's Saturday. And then you have Monday, which is the final. That's the final game, the semifinals. I'm sorry. When is it? 9 p.m. So, listen, it's amazing how the NCAA gets this tournament out the way. It's done within a week's time, Mad Mike. They speed through everything.
Yeah, it's 3 weeks. You get three weekends. You get 3 weekends. You get the 2 weekends of 4 days, and then you get the weekend and the Monday. It flies by, man. It's crazy.
Okay,
that's why they call it madness.
So now you have Virginia versus Auburn, Mad Mike. Who do you have winning that game?
You know what, man? I'm gonna take the underdog. They've been shocking me all tournament long, and I'll take the underdog.
I'm with you on this. I'm gonna take the underdog as well. Auburn has gotten great play from their point guard. Kid is a very smart basketball player, and he was a key to Auburn's win, you know, over the past weekend. So I'm going with the underdog as well. I'm going to take Auburn over Virginia, but it also wouldn't surprise me if Virginia beats Auburn, because Virginia, like you said, they have a solid basketball team, and they've been doing it all season. Great matchup, Matt Mike. Very great matchup, but I'm going to go with Auburn as well. And then who do you have? The other game, Michigan State versus Texas Tech.
I'm going to go with Michigan State. I've been doubting them. I keep saying that they have the formula to win. They got great point guard play. Nothing spectacular, but probably the best point guard left in the tournament. And you know, like I said, I love their bigs. Their bigs can play. It's you know, for all the hype that Duke's bigs got, they didn't even compare. And you know what I mean? To Michigan State's big. So I'm going to stay with Michigan State.
And we've said that on previous shows, man, Mike, that if you got solid bigs going up against Duke, that poses problems for Duke. Duke just seems to manhandle any team where their bigs are, you know, pretty much bigger than the other team's bigs. And that's not the case, you know, with Michigan. That wasn't the case with Michigan State.
Michigan State also because the difference in size between Winston and Tyus Jones was pretty stark, right? Jones is just half his size, man. Just he was half his size. I don't know what else to say. Just Winston played so much bigger.
So I'm with Mad Mike on this. I'm sticking with Michigan State as well over Texas Tech. Because of their bigs and how well their bigs play, and they also get great guard play. So I'm sticking with Michigan State. So that brings us, because we both agree, Mad Mike, we have Michigan State. If all goes well, if our crystal ball leads us in the right direction, we have Michigan State versus Auburn in that championship game. And if that's the case, Mad Mike, if we are right, if our predictions are correct, and it's Michigan State versus Auburn, who do you have winning that game?
I'm going with Auburn. I'm just going to ride the upset wave here. It's just been brewing all tournament long. I'm going to just stick with Auburn.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Michigan State on this. I think Auburn, you know, kinds of you know, they hit a steel wall with this one. I just like Michigan State's bigs, man, Mike. And I think those guys are going to be the difference maker in this game. So I got Michigan State. If all goes well, so let's see. You know, listen, it's for those who put faith in us and followed us and felt that we was right. But, you know, this is an NCAA tournament.
Well, if you put faith in me, I'm sure that you got a lot more losses than wins.
Listen, you know, there was a guy they had in the stands, man, Mike, at one game, and he happened to get all the picks right. Okay, so they went to this guy and they said, well, you know, what made you pick the teams that you pick? And this guy was saying outlandish stuff like, oh, I like the way Liberty sounds, so I picked them. You know, it was almost like it was a female picking games. I like the color of this team uniform, so I picked them. That just goes to show that it's a crapshoot when doing a bracket. It's a complete crapshoot.
Yeah, it is.
With that being said, you know, in this Final Four, you do have top-seeded teams. You know, what was Auburn is the highest seed? Auburn is the, what are they, five, right?
Fifth seed.
So, you know, and the other ones are, what, are one and three? I think.
Yeah, Tech is a three.
Right.
And Virginia Virginia is a one and State is a two.
Right. So, you know, you pretty much have, you know, the highest seeded team. So Auburn really would be that Cinderella team.
Yeah.
They would be that Cinderella team.
Well, because, I mean, like Mississippi State was my Cinderella at a 50. And so,
I had Auburn. I had Auburn being ousted. Lord, let me see when I had Auburn. Let me look at my bracket and see when I had.
Oh, I mean, I had Auburn make the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I didn't have
that. I had, right. But
I had Auburn losing to Kansas, man, Mike. In the round of 32, I had them losing to Kansas.
But yeah, I had them out in the Sweet 16. I had a chalk Sweet 16. I couldn't afford any. I mean, I had a chalk Elite 8, so I couldn't afford any upsets whatsoever. Leading up to that game, so didn't work out.
All right, so there's a lot of players in this draft that if they come out, their stock has risen. This is a good opportunity for me to really get a look at a lot of college basketball players, a lot of young men that I normally don't get a chance to see during a regular season. Because when you watch regular season college basketball, with me anyway, I pay attention to the highest seeded games. You know, so I really didn't get a chance to see Purdue play a lot. I really didn't get a chance to see Auburn play a lot. And I had the opportunity to do so. And I was very impressed with some of those young men. And that brings us to the NBA draft, man, Mike, a little bit. You know, I think Zion Williams has cemented himself as probably being a number one overall pick. But I really do think Ja Morant has probably passed R.J. Barrett for the number two pick, depending on who picks. I've heard talks that the Knicks are have him rated ahead of R.J. Barrett. Obviously, if Phoenix picks two, or what if Phoenix picks one, Mad Mike? What if Phoenix gets the number one pick? Does Phoenix take Zion Williams over Ja Morant? And obviously, Phoenix needs a point guard to go along with Devin Booker.
I think that Phoenix has just missed on so many draft picks that they need. You're talking about a team that's picked in what? In the lottery or in the top five for the last 3 or 4 years, and they really have nothing to show for it. I mean, outside of Devin Booker, and Devin Booker wasn't a top five pick, if I recall correctly. I don't know what they're going to do because they have a need. You know, you're talking about a team that can go R.J. Barrett, Ja Morant, or Zion Williams and fit all three of them into their roster seamlessly because that's the kind of roster they have. I mean, Alex Len hasn't worked out. You know, if we want to say Jackson hasn't worked out. Nope. Booker.
Well, you know, DeAndre Ayton has played. He's had a pretty decent rookie season.
All right. You know what? I didn't throw him in there. Being a rookie. But all right, fine. Ayton, fine. Maybe Mikal Bridges. They brought him along slowly. But you know, I don't know. I mean, do you think the point guard takes everybody to the next level? If I'm them, I wouldn't be drafting Zion Williams because I don't necessarily know if with his skill set right now, if he can play alongside DeAndre Ayton and still develop. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like Ayton is a guy who can live outside of the box.
Yeah,
and we know Zion can't.
If you look at their biggest need right now, Mad Mike, and I mean, obviously, like you said, they have a lot of holes in their roster. But I think their most important need to me, they need a point guard. And I think if they get a point guard, especially with a skill set of Ja Morant, who has a vision to pass the ball, can shoot, who can create his own shot, if you have a backcourt with him and Devin Booker, that's a great start right then. And you have DeAndre Ayton. I just think, like you said, if they draft Zion Williams and you have DeAndre Ayton, that's kind of button heads.
Yeah, it reminds me, and maybe you'll disagree, it reminds me of how Phoenix did, Philly did it. Philly went Nerlens Noel, Philly went Joel Embiid, what's the other guy from Duke that flamed out? Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah, Jahlil Okafor.
Back to back to back. I mean, not for nothing, but that's probably what forced them to take so damn long to build the team, to you know what I mean? Trust the process. Probably what made the process take so long was going center, 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 and then getting nothing of trade value for the ones that flamed out. They got nothing for Okafor, right? And they got nothing for Noel.
Yeah, and neither one of them are in Philly right now.
No, that's what I'm saying. They got nothing. Nothing at all in a trade form. You can't draft guys in the top five and get nothing for them. In a trade. You just can't do it.
I just think the biggest question with Phoenix, if they pick one, is do you take the best overall player or do you take the player that fits your need?
You're going to take, if you're them, you're taking Ja Morant. Simple as that. But what you want to do is you want to get a trade. Let's say with the Knicks are two. You know you want Ja Morant. You want to make the Knicks think that you're going to take Zion because you know the Knicks are thirsty for Zion because they need that star. If it was me, I wouldn't make the trade. But what you want to do is say, hey, Knicks, I'll take one of Dallas's first-round picks and the two, and I'll let you move up. The Knicks will be heroes in the eyes of most fans. People will praise them for doing the right thing. Phoenix, it's like the Jason Tatum trade with Markelle Fultz, right? Boston never, ever, ever wanted to take Tatum 1, and they never wanted Fultz at 1. So they traded back to 3, and they got Sacramento's lottery pick from Philadelphia to do it. That's what Phoenix, that's what they need to do. I'm not going to say that's what they're going to do. That's what they need to do.
So, listeners, it's not a terrible thing if Phoenix picks ahead of the Knicks. But I think if any other team picks 1, they're taking Zion Williams. So the only team I would be comfortable picking ahead of the Knicks at one would be Phoenix. Because I truly believe that Phoenix is going to take Ja Morant.
Yep.
And if the Knicks pick two, then the Knicks will still be able to get Zion Williams, which they seem to want. But I've heard them talk about Ja Morant a lot, too. And if they talk about Ja Morant, then what does that do with Kyrie Irving? Because obviously, Kyrie Irving is a point guard. Ja Morant is a point guard. Can you see Kyrie Irving playing off the ball? Can you see Ja Morant playing off the ball? Or maybe you have Ja Morant back up Kyrie Irving.
I don't think it changes anything. I think that the Knicks would go to a two-guard set. Difference with Ja is Ja actually plays defense. Ja's not the same kind of point guard Kyrie is.
But who hands would you put the ball in though, Mad Mike?
I don't think it matters. Because not that he's given me any faith in him. I've actually lost even more faith in him than I came into the season with. But isn't that what David Fizdale told you? Isn't that what we've seen throughout the year where he doesn't really have a preference on who's gonna handle the rock? It's just once you get into the half court set, who's going to handle? But I think once you get into the half court set, Kyrie will take over that. But I think Fizdale's preference would be just getting guys on the court that can do multiple things, bring the ball up and push it. And I honestly do think you're going to see that. I think you'd see a lot more of it. Especially because I think they're going to start moving Frank to that Bruce Bowen role. I think it's over, for him.
Yeah, I'm hearing trade rumors with him. I'm hearing the Knicks are looking to get rid of Frank Ntilikina. And then also, if the Knicks do get Ja Morant and they do sign Kyrie Irving, then what happens with Kevin Knox? And I'm assuming they're not going to re-sign Emmanuel Mudiay, who's played really well.
Yeah, to an extent. The thing about Mudiay is the more I see him this year, he doesn't finish. He's still not finishing around the rim. I think what was benefited him this year mostly is the fact that he's been more consistent with his jump shot. But I don't see anything, man. When I look at Emmanuel Mudiay play, I see a backup point guard. I just do. And I'll be very honest with you. I don't see much from Kevin Knox. Like, everyone wants to knock Frank, and I'm one of the guys that say I haven't seen the development under him. But outside of Mitchell Robinson, who have you seen really develop this year under him? Yeah, Trier has been a pleasant surprise, but it's not like his game has transformed as the year went on. He came in as ISO Zoe, and he's going out as ISO Zoe. Very little passing. A lot of one-on-one to his game. We like points and we like all the excitement. But if you want to be honest about the basketball player he's grown into, he's no different than when he came in. I don't know what Fizdale has done this year. I mean, outside of Mitchell Robinson, can you say that you've seen him transform the game of any Knick on the roster?
Mudiay has played better under Fizdale, but not good enough where I would want to keep him.
Noah Vonleh. Let's say Noah Vonleh.
But Mitchell Robinson is probably the if you're talking about everybody on the roster as far as rookies or young talent goes, which the Knicks have a young team to begin with, I would agree with you on Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson has grown and played he's gotten better. You've seen growth from Mitchell Robinson as the season has gone on. And like you pointed out before, a lot of that also has to deal with DeAndre Jordan being there also.
Yeah. Yep. And I did say that when they made the trade. I said if I'm looking at Mitchell Robinson and I wanted to think of one guy around the league who he looks like a young guy, DeAndre Jordan fit the bill. Just a guy who was running and jumping and doing all those things. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm being too hard. Maybe the roster just really doesn't have talent and Fizdale just, hands tied all year. But I haven't been blown away by him. A lot of people talked about how great he's been.
Kevin Knox, man, Mike, and he's had, in my opinion, I would say a disappointing rookie season.
I told you. I said, you know what? You're going to see from Kevin Knox. I don't want to hear from fans bashing Frank Ntilikina, saying Frank Ntilikina is never going to be anything. I don't want to hear anything because in the end of the day, when you put those two's, when you put their season side by side, rookie season, or even what you see from Frank, Frank, at least he has his defense to rely on. Kevin Knox is just as raw. He needs just as much development. You can't be a 6 foot. What is he? 6'9", 6'10", right?
Yeah, he's six. He's six.
Averaging under 4 rebounds a game. One of the worst defenders on the team. Shooting under 40%. I mean, come on, dude. I think he's shooting under 30% from 3 points.
He looks like a Deer in headlights a lot of times.
I don't want to hear it.
I'm very surprised, man, Mike, because he had a pretty good showing at the summer league, but obviously you're in the summer league, you're playing against guys that's not going to make the NBA roster.
But that's what I said during the summer. If you take away all the highlight dunks he had, he was pretty awful. Go look at the numbers. He was an inefficient shooter. His field goal percentage, if you took out the dunks, was also, you know, mid 30s, low 30%. He hasn't been hitting shots since he left college. And to be honest with you, I don't think his offensive game was all that great in college either.
If you had to do it over again, man, Mike, who would you have taken instead of Kevin Knox with that pick?
Off the top of my head, I don't think I would change a thing. I think I would have gone. I still would have gone one of the Bridges. Right. Both Bridges have looked better as the year has gone on.
And which one is in Charlotte?
Miles.
The other one that's in Phoenix, like you said, they're bringing him along very slowly.
And that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, if you take minute for minute into consideration, think about where those two would be right now if they had Kevin Knox's minutes.
You're
and
right.
That's the other reason, Lloyd, why I don't. I kind of lost respect for this guy this year, Fizdale, because Fizdale's over here telling you, you know, Frank is sitting for 6 games and Dotson is sitting and all these guys that go through their struggles are sitting. The one guy that he refused to sit and make them earn it was Kevin Knox. And who probably looks like he's regressed more than anybody on the team? Kevin Knox.
Yeah, we both was going teetering back and forth behind what bridges for them to take, and they took neither one of them. We definitely wasn't expecting them to take Kevin Knox.
And then he's talking about defense. Well, if defense mattered to you, why wouldn't you take a guy like Mikal Bridges? If outside shooting meant something to you, why wouldn't you take Mikal Bridges? Like, all the things that Fizdale says he stands for, he won against. Like, I don't know, man. I could be, like I said, you know, all these Knicks fans that want to say, well, he's young, he's only 19, give him a chance. My only answer to you guys, my only rebuttal is, then stop complaining about Frank Ntilikina, because he's the same exact age. That's it. Don't tell me what you can see the talent with Kevin Knox. Can you? Can you? Because I tell you, shooting under 30% from 3. So can you tell me he's going to be able to shoot from the outside? He's shooting under 35% from 2. So can you tell me he's going to hit the mid-range? And like I said, he's not rebounding nearly enough for a small forward, power forward at his height.
I tell you this much, the Knicks would use a first round pick on Frank Ntilikina, and they might be lucky if they get a second round pick for him. They probably are trying to get a first round pick, and I don't think anybody's going to give him a first round pick because they haven't played the young man enough.
I wouldn't trade him. When you say you're committed to developing young talent, you need to be committed to developing young talent. How many of these guys are playing through their entire rookie contract before they start showing signs and living up to the hype? You have to let guys. Do you think about this, right? Noah Vonleh, where he came from, he played Chicago and New Orleans on his rookie deal, right? And the Knicks are now in one other team, right? Do you think that New Orleans wishes they had him right now, or Chicago? Do you think Chicago, instead of investing what's this kid's name? Jabari Parker. Don't you think that they wish they still had Noah Vonleh developing under them? After you compare their seasons, sometimes you just got to write it out. His rookie deal is a 4-year deal, and you spent 4 years developing him, and you hope by the end of year 4, he's what you thought he was, and then you pay him. It's that simple. He's not the first one. You know, that's the problem with the NBA, Lloyd. Like, we can go there, right? These guys all want to come in at high school. LeBron James, they're all trying to put this pressure to let guys in after high school. These guys are not ready. And now the one and done. So, no, make them go to school and develop for 2 years. Develop their body, their mind, and their game. And then we won't see these struggles.
There's about 7 more games left in the season, and then once those 7 games is over, then we can start dreaming about if Kyrie is going to come here, which I'm hearing reports that the Nets are now in the battle with for Kyrie Irving's services. I think it's going to be a package deal. Wherever Kyrie goes, I think Kevin Durant is going to go. Whether that's Brooklyn, whether that's New York, whether that's the Clippers, I think they're both going to go to the same place and sign there. I think that's what's going to happen.
Not for nothing. By the way, the Knicks clinched a bottom two pick. Chicago, I believe, has 21 wins. Or, I'm sorry, the Knicks have clinched a bottom three pick. Because Chicago has 21 wins with 7 games left, the Knicks have guaranteed that they can't finish worse than with no less than the third worst record in the NBA. And I believe Cleveland has 19 or 20 wins. So the Knicks, with one more loss, should be able to clinch a bottom two pick. Actually,
right. How many wins Phoenix have?
18.
They have Phoenix 18, and the 18. Knicks have how many?
14.
Okay.
So Magic number should be 3, if I recall
Knicks
correctly.
Fans, we're sitting pretty right now, but they do play the Bulls twice. And Mad Mike was saying Chicago, somebody was telling me, I don't know if it was you, Mad Mike, I'm sorry if it wasn't you, but somebody was saying to me that Chicago should beat the Knicks.
Twice, yeah, hell yeah, they
and
should
I'm
be
just saying,
twice.
This is like a team that I can see the Knicks beating. I don't know why. But this is just a look. I have a feeling that the Knicks are going to blow this for whatever reason. And they're in prime position not to blow it, but they did sit DeAndre Jordan. I don't know if he was hurt or, you know, if they just chose not to play him and get Luke Kornet some work, but he didn't play in the last game against Miami in Dwayne Wade's final showing at the Garden. So we'll see. But listeners, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we come back. We're going to talk baseball as the Yankees and the Mets started their seasons, and Mad Mike's favorite player, J.A. Happ, laid the goose egg at the stadium. So we'll be right back with more of of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Welcome back to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Before we went to the break, listeners, we was talking about we're going to talk some baseball. As Major League Baseball has opened up and both the Mets and the Yankees, both New York teams, have started their season. And we're going to start off with the New York Metropolitans, Mad Mike. And despite a tough loss to the Nationals in the series final, I thought that there was plenty good for the Mets to feel good about. And I also thought that the Mets sent a message to their division rivals loud and clear, because for the second consecutive day, the Mets activated untapped intensity and capitalized at the expense of the Nationals' bullpen. All right, and even before Washington's relievers rewarded the heart of the order with the game-time rally, the Mets drove that they strolled from the dugout to the batter's box, you know, with a never-say-die attitude. And this is something that we've never seen from this team, man, Michael, I haven't seen in quite some time. And no matter how many times the Nationals tried to slam the door in their face, the Mets found a way to leave it open just a little bit to try to fight back. And despite the offensive effort, left-handed reliever Justin Wilson gave up a walk-off homer to Trey Turner, who has completely turned into a Mets killer, Mad Mike, in the ninth. And the Mets ended up losing that game 6-5 in a series finale with Sunday, taking 2-3 from the Nationals, Mad Mike.
The Nationals are giving us... I don't know. They're giving us the blueprint on how to lose a division year after year after year when you're considered the favorite. And that's because they refuse, for some reason, to build a bullpen. You're talking about a team that, you know, for all the nonsense that Bryce Harper gets for their inability to win in the first round, they just have never been able to support their starters, man. It's mind-blowing. It's actually the same thing that the Mets have done for so many years, right? Everyone's just like, just get tough at bats, build the pitch count up for Scherzer and Corbin and, you know, all these guys, and we're gonna beat up on their bullpen. That's exactly what the Mets did. Yeah, they got the loss on Sunday, but all they did was put good at bats and you know, professional at bats. They went opposite field a lot more than what you know the league has actually, you know, been showing, which is good for them. And the Nets can't, they just can't get anybody out in their bullpen. You know, you think about it. They blew they blew Saturday and they blew Sunday, but ended up coming back for the win. But, you know, think about it. Like this team has got a long ways to go. The Mets just capitalized, man, which is just good baseball. Good baseball.
And Jacob DeGrom signed a $137.5 million contract with the New York Mets, and he had a strong start on opening day. Really strong. And they had him on the ropes a little bit, but this young man, well, he's not young. What is he, 31?
30, I think.
30, he pitched out a couple jams. He pitched out of a couple jams. So we got to give the credit to the Mets for winning a series against a team that people are probably picking to finish ahead of them in a division.
I'll tell you this. I think I've already changed my tune. I don't like Washington's team at all. I'm not going to say I don't like their team. I think Washington is going to score and pitch with everybody as far as their starters go. I don't think they just are never going to. You can't win today without a good bullpen. You know what I mean? You just can't do it. And you can't ignore it anymore. So it's like, to me, I'll save it for when we switch over to the other New York team. But, you know, it's not going to work, man. So I just hope, you know, let's just hope, like you said, I believe you, was it a train conductor last year or a fellow on the train, a friend of yours? But remember, I believe you told him, just wait till May when it came to the Mets.
It's funny you said that. I was just about to say that as well. The Mets had a strong start last year, and you saw how they finished. So unlike their counterpart, the New York Yankees, let's not toot your horns just yet, Mets fans. But me and Mad Mike have to give credit where credit is due. They play some good baseball. Very good baseball. And they got to play the Nationals 10 more times. And the next game against the Nationals is set for their home opener at Citi Field on April 4th. Who do the Mets have next, man, Mike?
They have the Marlins. The Mets have the Marlins, and then they're at home for the Nationals.
All right, so you would expect the Mets to beat up on the Marlins. Although the Marlins got a young pitching staff that's pretty good, man, Mike. I mean, I don't know if it's saying much that they beat the Rockies, but, you know, you would think that the other team that might be just as bad as Baltimore would be Miami, would be the Marlins. You would think that. And here we are, a team that's picked to win over 100 games, loses 2 out of 3, and yes, I'm talking about the goddamn New York Yankees. As they just couldn't handle the lowly Orioles. You couldn't handle them. And it was hard to believe. Aaron Judge said it himself after Sunday's loss. He explained without a drip of sarcasm that the Yankees needed to feel like losing in just the second game of the season like it was losing in the playoffs. They should have slapped this team around, Mad Mike, like they owed them something. Should have slapped them around. And maybe, you know, I'm not even going to blame it on the rain delay. I'm not even going to blame it on that. And it meant that they lost the first series of the season. The start of what was supposed to relatively, let's face it, their first 21 games is soft, in my opinion. For a team that was one of the offseason favorites to win the World Series. And the Orioles jumped out to early 3-0 lead on starting pitcher J.A. Happ. And let's face it, Happ came off of a bad spring training. It's not like he had a solid spring training. And they never relinquished the cushion. Gary Sanchez, he did hit his first homer, solo shot. He struck out 3 times and made another ugly damn throwing error that led to another run. And this team left 14 runners on base, Mad Mike, including the bases loaded in the 8th inning with 2 outs. And they also put 2 runners with 2 outs on the 9th in DJ LeMahieu, singled. And then Troy Tulowitzki got up and struck out. Who Aaron Boone pitch hit for Brett Gardner?
We can't do that. Brett Gardner, they brought the lefty in to face Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner is 1-for-12 on the season. So he went to Troy Tulowitzki, who had a home run in the ninth inning of Saturday's loss. So I understand what Aaron Boone was doing, playing the percentages, playing for the power. And it's not, once again, if Aaron Hicks is healthy, Brett Gardner's your number nine hitter. So I'm not going to fault him for that. Brett Gardner is not this is brings me back to the goddamn offseason, Lloyd, where why is Brett Gardner back on this team? Because he was cheap and because they knew him. Not because he brings any value to the team. Brett Gardner finishes the season like he starts the season, cold every year. Brett Gardner is good for you, May through June. May through August. But Brett Gardner's not going to give you anything in April. He's been a slow starter his entire career. Go look it up. This is why I was saying this team is doomed. You have on Sunday's game. I'm watching Luke Voit, and I'm gonna be all over the place because I'm telling you I noticed a hell of a lot of things wrong with this team already in just three games. You got Luke Voit, who's getting straight as an arrow fastballs down the middle from Dylan Bundy on Sunday, and what is he doing? Everything is uppercut. How about you level that swing out, meet the ball right in the middle of the plate, and hit a freaking line drive into the gap for a double? You know, that's the problem I have with this team. Why is there so many? When the launch angle on that is so bad that you're hitting straight pop-ups to the second baseman and behind home plate on straight as an arrow fastballs in the middle of the plate, there's a problem. And I don't care if you want to blame the stat nerds. I don't care who you want to blame. It's not going to get fixed. Giancarlo Stanton, you're standing 18 feet off the freaking plate again. And you're guessing, and you're swinging one-handed at freaking changeups in the damn dirt, striking out. How do you follow a freaking it was the single by Judge after a bases-loaded walk by Gardner. Judge saw five pitches. I think Stan struck out on three of them. You have Saturday, bases loaded in the first inning with one out, and Miguel Andujar, bases loaded on three straight walks on Saturday. And Miguel Andujar is grounding out to third base on the second pitch of his at bat. You want to talk about Miguel Andujar? You traded Castro because he had poor plate discipline, and you're keeping around Miguel Andujar, who has the same poor plate discipline. Why? He's cheap, Lloyd. He makes no money. Are you see what I'm doing with the theme here?
I get you.
Makes no money.
Yeah. And they got this team ticketed to win the World Series. Well, not win the
now,
World
now,
Series.
Yo, listen, now I didn't even go to the fact that, hey, man, what about the fact they have made five errors in three games? I thought the Orioles were the worst team in baseball. Why do you have five errors in the first three games of the season? Huh? Explain that to me. Miguel Andujar, why are you three-hopping? And we can't even give him an error because they're giving an infield single, but why are you three-hopping to throw to first base? Yeah, I understand it's a tough play going towards the line, but give me a break. That's what separates average defenders from really good ones. That's what separates you defensively from Manny Machado. That play right there. And you want to know what that play led to? That play led from a 4-3, the Yankees are back in the game, to followed up by Gary Sanchez error. I don't know what's going on there. He's not reaching second base. Runner goes straight to third. Luis Sessa, another single. You're giving up back-to-back singles. And all of a sudden, a 4-3 lead turns to a 5-3 lead. The Yankees, they were... If you take away all the home runs from opening day, this team is no different, man. This team is an all or nothing team.
As Yankee fans, we want them to do well. But I tell you, this could end up blowing up in Brian Cashman's face. And the front office. And when I mean by front office, I mean the Steinbrenners that are running the team now. Who deceived us as fans, saying that they want to do everything in their power and get the best players in free agency. And they did the complete opposite.
Lloyd, three bases loaded opportunities on Sunday. Not one runner crossed the plate. I'm sorry, one runner crossed the plate on a walk. Are you kidding me? On Saturday, the same thing. And not for nothing, I know James Paxton got bit, you know, two soft singles. You know, the error by Sanchez and his start. There was, I think the error was on, there was one other error. In that inning, they ended up, he ended up pitching through two errors, but not one Yankee pitched six innings. Think about that. Jay, not one starter went six.
They're killing the bullpen already.
Yes. To the point where you, and I heard Boone say, yeah, Masahiro Tanaka could have gone more. J-Hap could have gave us more, but we didn't want to push them because they had some long innings in between some of the, you know, some of the. I hear you, but you got to think about something, man. Your bullpen right now is kind of short staffed too, right? With Dylan Betances, he's not there healthy. You're relying on guys like Luis Sessa, who yeah, he, you know, we can say whatever we want. He's your long man, and it takes him 20, 25 pitches to get out of one inning. He can't be your long man. Stephen Tarpley, back-breaking home run given up in the ninth inning. He shouldn't be in there pitching to multiple guys just yet. You know, he's a rookie. He should be a lefty specialist just until he gets the speed of the game down. You know, this is not going to work for me. But this is what I was telling you. You know, you want to call guys bulldogs. You know who's a bulldog and who really, 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 really kind of impressed me was Paxton. Did you realize he didn't? He had a 1-2 count on the first 15 hitters of the game. Either he had an out recorded by the third pitch, or he was 1-2.
Yeah, he pitched well. Paxton pitched really well. He pitched. I mean, Masahiro Tanaka had a good start, but Paxton pitched. I was not surprised, but obviously, you know, Paxton is hasn't been healthy, but he gave them a strong outing, man, Mike. He did.
You know, he's a definition of a bulldog. He's cute. They were talking about it on the telecast, and then he's over here. You know, just exactly what they were talking about. He's doing it. He's just like, I want to be 0-2, 1-2 on every single hitter. And the first 15 hitters, he's 1-2. They call Tanaka a bulldog. Tanaka's never been a bulldog to that extent. He nibbles. He gets you to swing at bad pitches. Paxton is over here saying, you know what, man? I'm just going to pound the zone. I'm going to pour it in there. Tanaka, you know, Tanaka wants to put balls in the dirt. He wants to do it. Paxton has no interest in that. And Hap, Lloyd,
yeah,
Jay, Hap, Lloyd, 3 years, $16, $17 million a year. Jay, Hap, I'm going to tell you, I text Joe Rivera, our good friend Joe Rivera, who can't stand Pat Corbin. And I don't know why. He just thinks he's an average pitcher. I don't think he deserves the money he got.
He pitched well against the Mets yesterday, man, Mike.
And that's what he said. You know what he said to me? He texted me back, 94 pitches, 6 innings, 55 strikes. Average pitcher. And you know what I texted him back? 4 innings, 4 runs, 2 home runs.
Oh, man.
That's exactly what I texted him back. Man. And then he said, 6 years, $140 million. And I said, well, CC's on the DL, on the IL, whatever it's called, and you got this guy. I mean, not for nothing, you figure it out next year. But you're paying more to CC and Hap than Corbin's making this year. And who would you rather have had start today?
Yeah. No, you're right. Absolutely right. And, I mean, not only that, man, Mike, I mean, did the Yankees knock on Dallas Keuchel's door?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. They have a hell of a lot more competition now than they did. And that's going to be the issue now. Because now Keuchel, the way that this has played out with the injury, some of the slow starts, and not only that, but Lloyd, and I'm over here rambling to myself to make sense. Do you even want to knock on his door? Is he going to be ready? He's not going to be ready at this point until what?
Well, they were saying, I was listening to, I don't know what I was listening to, man, Mike, but they were saying he's been pitching simulated games, and obviously simulated games on against major league talent, but they're saying that he's pitching simulated games every week to kind of keep up the speed, you know, just in case somebody gives him that call and signs him to a contract.
Well, Well, didn't they say the same thing last year about Alex Cobb? And, you know, I'm just saying, because we've seen it, where guys have, or what was it, Lance Lynn, right? The guy the Yankees traded for last year. He's available because he had a really bad first half with the Twins last year. And what he said, they were saying the same thing. He was pitching simulated games, staying in shape. And he said that there's nothing like it. He said there's nothing like the competition. You think you're ready, but it still took him 2 months. He said he didn't really start feeling like himself until that final month before the trade happened. So I don't know. I mean, if you're going to make a move for Keuchel now, it's got to be more than 1 year, because you're probably not going to get great stuff from him this year.
Yeah, I'm just saying that. I don't think the Yankees – I mean, obviously, they signed Gio Gonzalez, who got lit up, and his only spring training start. So if they sign him, they're not even touching Dallas Keuchel unless something serious happens to another starter. And even then, I don't even think the Yankees want to touch Dallas Keuchel.
Well, that's even more proof, right? Because even with Gio Gonzalez, do you think Gio Gonzalez wasn't staying in shape and working on simulated games and stuff like that? I'm sure he was doing all those same things, waiting for his deal to come. And he, you're right, he did get lit up in his final start. I don't know, man. I'm be honest with you. I don't think the Yankees can tell us whatever they want. I don't think the Yankees have title aspirations. I don't. And yeah, you could say I'm overreacting to the first start of the season, the first series of the season. I'll be very honest with you. I've felt cheated, let down, and been kind of feeling a little demoralized all off season. Because I don't think that you see these other teams signing up their younger talent. You hear Hal Steinbrenner say we haven't even discussed extensions for Aaron Judge and the other young talent. Does that sound like a team that's they sound like a team to me that wants to be competitive but be cheap at the same time and make more money off their fan base. That's what they sound like to me. That's the feeling I get. I don't know, man. Nothing I saw this weekend changes my mind. One series, yeah, but like I said, man, it doesn't look like they fixed anything. Why is Stanton 18 feet off the? You know, seriously, why is Stanton like 1 foot in the box, 1 foot out of the box?
I don't know how he hits. I said that all the time. I don't know how the hell he hits like that.
Why do we got to constantly make the adjustments with his feet? Fix it once. I almost cursed. Fix it and move on, man. Like, why do we got to keep with this bogus BS nonsense?
Listen, I really don't think this team is as good as a lot of people making this team out to be, man.
I don't. And the bullpen. You want to know what? I don't. I've never been a big believer on Chad Green. Why? And I've said it to you. How many times have I said it? Because Chad Green relies on that fastball. When that fastball is on, Chad Green is lights out. But you want to know what he is? He's a one-pitch pitcher. In his secondary stuff, he has not one lights-out secondary pitch, nothing. And what happened to him on Saturday? They fouled off really good pitches. They made him battle. And what happens to fastball pitchers when they got a battle? They tire out quicker. And what they do, they touch them up. And don't tell me, oh, it was just a run. Tack on runs matter. You can't tell me that we have the kind of offense that can get us back in the blink of an eye, yeah? But every time you give up a tack on run, they lost by one run. You don't think those tack-on runs come back and matter? Look at Sunday, right? Troy Tulowitzki comes up down two runs but Stephen Tarpley gave up a two-run homer in the top of the ninth.
Yeah.
So don't tell me about this bullpen. This bullpen, if you're relying on Sessa and Tarpley, how good is this bullpen really?
Yeah, and listen, I got to give Adam Ottavino some credit, man, Mike.
He was filthy.
You know, I got to give him some credit. He's been lights out thus far. I mean, look, again, it's only three games, listeners, but he's been lights out.
But even if you want to call him a big acquisition, Lloyd, even if you want to say, well, they went out and got Ottavino, fine. But it's not like they let David Robertson and his $10, $12 million walk so they could sign a guy.
They are going to burn him out, Mad Mike. They are going to burn Adam Ottavino out, just like the rest of their bullpen. Burn them out.
Yep. And let's because I'm going there, right? Let's have the conversation real quick. CeCe, $10 million to return, right? That's less than he made last year, right? Brett Gardner, $8 million to return. That's $5 million less than he made last year. This guy was making $12 million last year, David Robertson. Ottavino came here on $8.5 million. So you saved almost $4 million there. Where'd the savings go? Who'd they get? Who did they add? Just take all the savings they got and just go and got him and added him into this year's team. Who'd they get? Jay Happ? Jay Happ was on the team last year.
All the studs, Matt Mike, are gone.
No, I'm asking you, but seriously, and you're right. All the guys that they told you this winter that they were targeting for next year and the future all signed extensions.
Yep. And we're talking Mike Trout, Arenado, Machado, Bryce Harper, all gone.
But that's my point. Jacob, so what were you saving for?
All gone.
Yeah, exactly. So what are you saving for? Did you go with Paxton? They gave their money to Paxton. That's what they did? The $9 million they brought in for him, that's where the savings went, to Paxton? But then I can say, well, you know, they got Paxton, but they got 1 year older with CeCe. They got 1 year older with Happ. I mean, did they improve? I think it's a fair question to ask.
Yeah, I mean, they got the Detroit Tigers come to town. So they got Detroit later on this evening.
Look, they have to sweep. They have to sweep.
What is it, a three-game set or a four-game set?
I believe it's a three-game set. It's a three-game set with them, and then they go to Baltimore for three. And they got to sweep. They have to go 5-1 this week.
I agree.
That's it.
I agree with you.
They have to go 5-1.
In order to salvage losing 2 out of 3 to the Orioles, I agree with you.
Yeah. Because when you saw the first 9 games of this year, you said this team should be 7-2 at worst. That's what everybody said. So realistically, you wasted away the poor weekend the Red Sox had. Think about that.
Yeah, the Red Sox lost. What is it? 3 out of 4 to Seattle.
Yeah.
Seattle looked pretty good too, Mad Mike.
Yeah.
Seattle looked pretty good, and Philly looks pretty good, too.
I like Philly, man. I like Philly. That's what I was saying. With Kimbrel and Keuchel, I just think that they have...
And our good old friend Andrew McCutchen is over there doing big things.
Would you rather have Brett Gardner or Andrew McCutchen right now?
Oh, 1,000% Andrew McCutchen.
See what I'm saying?
Andrew McCutchen put Brett Gardner on the bench last year.
That's my point.
And they let Andrew McCutchen walk and re-sign Brett Gardner.
If you acknowledged last year that you had to make that move, why would you bring him back this year? That's what pisses me off. More than anything.
I agree with you. The Yankees, they need to sweep Baltimore, and they need to take 2 out of 3 from Detroit. Gotta be 5-1 over the next 6 games. Have to be. I mean, you get what you get from Toronto. Toronto's not a good baseball team. You know, Boston got off to a slow start. How did Tampa do?
Tampa was good. I think the 2-1 will start this weekend.
I know Snell got beat up on the first game of the season, but for the most part, Tampa's going to be there in the end. They always are.
Oh no, I think Tampa's going to be. I think Tampa's going to be solid this year. I think it's. I don't think people. You know, people made a joke of him. I actually joked about him too last year with the opener, and look how well it worked. It worked so well that now all these other teams are over here trying it. They found a formula that worked. They can pitch. I personally don't think they're going to be able to hit enough to win the division, but I think they're going to be at it all year. I really do. I think that they're so forward-thinking, they got a good coach, I think it's going to be a problem. And I don't think the Yankees can afford to get off to a slow start. I don't think they can afford to keep bungling with runners in scoring position. They better figure it out, man.
I mean, when you look at that lineup, man, they have Luke Voit hitting foot. I mean, and Greg Bird How many times does he have to have a great spring and then come up during a regular season and don't do anything?
Yeah.
I'm scratching my head, man. I really am. Luke Voit had this, you know, this strong finish last year, and they think this guy's a savior. When in turn, he's an average baseball player. He's your average Major League Baseball player, listeners. He's not a star. He's not a superstar. He's not even a good baseball player. He's an average baseball player who the Yankees are portraying or want us to think that he's good. And he's not. Remember Shane Spencer had that run with the Yankees? Yeah. What the hell happened to him after that, Matt Mike?
No, well, we'll see now. We'll see.
Average baseball player Shane Spencer was. Kevin Moss. Remember Kevin Moss? Kevin Moss had that stint?
Yep.
Average baseball player.
Yep.
He resurrected himself in New York. But you got to be consistent with it. And I don't expect him to be consistent. I don't. I didn't from the jump. I didn't. And I'm still not a big fan. Look, I mean, obviously, Judge is gonna hit. There's certain guys in the lineup that we can say is going to hit. I know, you know, I've been a big opponent of having Giancarlo Stanton's back. But boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy. I don't know what to say, man, Mike. What about Gary Sanchez? He looks lost at the plate.
I've been on record of saying I don't think Gary is ever gonna be a fast starter. I think Gary takes a lot of time. Being from the island, spending a lot of his time in warm weather, I don't think Gary likes the cold. I think as a catcher, you disagree with me, maybe you agree with me.
I'm praying you're right, man, Mike. I think
playing the catcher position in cold weather takes a toll on the body. I think I think he recovers a lot slower than the other players in the cold. I know I can tell you just with my knees going through it, it's a problem. I don't think he's ever going to start.
Bro, how much are the Yankees missing Didi right now, man, Mike?
That's the other problem, right? The Yankees don't have any left-handed hitters. It's a problem. It really is a problem.
How much?
Like, I'm telling you, I was watching Saturday night, and I don't even remember how the roster, the lineup went, but it went something scary. Like, it was like Stan, Voit, Sanchez, Andujar, LeMahieu, Tulowitzki, Torres, and I'm like, when is the lefty coming up? You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, is there a freaking lefty on this team? Oh, Brett Gardner's on this team. Okay, no problem. It makes you wonder why Tyler Wade got sent down. You know what I mean? Like, I just look at things and I'm like, you know, he's a lefty.
Is it just Greg Bird and Brett Gardner the only lefties?
Yes.
Right now?
And Bird didn't play on Saturday.
Yeah.
Which also blows my mind. Well, why is Greg Bird sitting on game two after a day off against a righty?
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. And then you had Luke Voit at first base, and he couldn't catch a short hop from LeMahieu, who the Yankees put at third base. And he's not a third. He even said it himself, you don't feel comfortable playing third base.
So, and you know, it's funny you bring that up, because here's another thing I was going to say. How much longer before LeMahieu comes up with a tired shoulder or some kind of shoulder injury, because he's playing third base and he's making these throws from a different arm slot than his body is used to? And how much longer until that happens? And don't tell me that doesn't happen, because I know people. I can tell you just teammates of my own that are just like, man, this throw takes a lot more out of me. It's just completely different everything about it is different.
It is.
So how much longer before we start hearing, oh, well, he needs to be shut down with a tired arm or you know, just a shoulder issue, shoulder weakness? It's coming, man. It's coming.
All right. Well, now is that time of the show that we all love. It's time to let Mad Mike do his thing and get on his rant. So, Mad Mike, what you got to rant about this week, brother?
Oh, man. I'm sorry, man. I got to take aim at David Fizdale. I know I did it earlier in the show. You know, he was talking about defense this week, finding players to fit their defensive philosophy, you know, making it a key point to this year, you know, this season's off, you know, this offseason. And, man, I don't understand what he is talking about. Kyrie Irving has never been looked at as a defensive stopper. That's one of the guys they're targeting. Kevin Durant is not looked at as a defensive stopper. That's one of the guys they're targeting. Yeah, we have you know, DeAndre Jordan and Mitchell Robinson as an anchor. But like we said, Kevin Knox has not developed this year. He looks awful. Frank Ntilikina, maybe your best defender, and Damian Dotson. Dotson is only playing because of the injuries, and Frank was finding his ass on the bench. David Fizdale, all I want to say to him is find a consistent message and stick to it. If you're going to say something matters, it's got to matter from day one. You don't pick and choose when defense matters in the NBA. You don't pick and choose what system you want to run and when. The good coaches, the successful coaches, the Greg Popoviches, as a matter of fact, the Kenny Atkinson in your own city, those guys have a system. They are enforcing their system from day one, and they haven't changed their system from day one, regardless. They're saying, we want to find guys that can fit our system, and we're not going to change. You're not finding guys that fit your system. You keep changing your system. No one here. If Lloyd A. Thompson doesn't know what your message is, then you don't have one, because he's the one that defended your hire. That's all I got for today.
And there you have it, listeners. And with that being said, that's going to bring us to a close of this week's show. We would like to thank you, the listeners, for sticking with us and continue to support us. And we would like to thank our producer, Ayo, Omar Baker, for keeping this thing rocking out. So with that being said, listeners, please have a safe and blessed week. And me and Mad Mike can see you in 7 days to talk some more sports. And maybe we'll do a little mock draft, NFL mock draft, maybe a little NBA mock draft. So maybe we'll tackle that in the next week's show. So until then, guys, have a safe and blessed week. Ayo! Let's get up out of here, baby.
And just like that, that brings our show to a close. All of you fine, fine ladies and gentlemen that have been listening, I thank you. If you subscribe, thank you. If not, please do so. And make sure you share it with your friends and your family, anybody that you know. But get into some sports talk. You got the best sports podcast, in my very humble opinion. The best sports podcast, the real sports and the real talk, right here with the Lloyd A. Thompson and the Mad Mike Sports Show. As you already know, episodes drop every single Monday. Head over to LloydAThompson.com. Follow on Instagram and Twitter at Lloyd A. Thompson. That's with two L's. Make sure you throw the second L in. And we'll catch y'all in a week. Peace.